CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to SpaceX. SpaceX's most recent success is notable for the first stage. Bob, a very good evening to you. What about the first stage launching a Dragon cargo to ISS?
Well, it's news, John, and the news is interesting because of why it's news. SpaceX successfully put this Dragon capsule, cargo capsule, up to ISS early this week, and it used a new first stage. Only the second time this year that they did a launch with a Falcon 9 rocket using a new first stage. It was the 31st launch in 21 by SpaceX, which is extending its record for the most launches in a single year by any private company ever. And in fact, as I note in my post about this launch, the 31 launches actually exceeds the number of launches of the entire U.S. rocket industry yearly that they manage generally each year from 1970 to 2017. In other words, SpaceX is beating the U.S. in almost every year of its entire history. This was the second time they used a new launch, and it's really amazing. They did the first vertical landing of a first stage in December of 15, and now they've got, and it was news that they were going to, that they managed to recover a first stage, and then it was news that they were able to reuse one once in a while. Now it's news when they use a new one. It's totally rare now. They have got themselves set up where they very rarely have to bring in a new a member of their fleet of first stages. And so that's the big news story there. The other aspects of this, John, that's kind of newsworthy is that in the 2021 launch race right now, this launch puts the U.S. and China in a tie. They both have 48 launches in the year. And it means that for the rest of the year, there's only a few more launches scheduled. It's really a question which nation is going to end up with the most launches. And in both cases, these are records for both countries. China, it's a total record. They've never done this, 48 launches in a year. But it also beats their prediction for the year. And for the U.S., it's not a record, but it's the highest number of launches the U.S. has had in literally like five decades. And so this is once again indicating how the rocketry and space exploration is booming right now. And mostly it's booming because of private enterprises.
A footnote about China's record. There should be a penalty, Bob, in your accounting for next year for a country that drops the booster on its own population or willy-nilly around the world. That isn't quite a launch comparable to the success of SpaceX.
Well, I try to make this list, the listings as simple as possible because it just shows trends and patterns. In reporting the launches, I also make an effort to try to point out when they're going to drop a booster or first stage on people's heads. I should point out that I don't really give Russia much grief about this, but they do the exact same thing. When they launch from Kazakhstan, and then when they launch from Vostochny, they are overland, and their first stages are going to land on land. What the Russians have always done, because it's in very remote areas, is they make sure the boosters come down in the remote areas. And, of course, they keep secret. If anything goes wrong, we don't know about it. And China tries to do the same thing. I think they've now shut down any possibility of us hearing about any problems with their social network of, censorship. But, yeah, both countries.
Let's go to Camden, Georgia. The FAA has approved what, Bob?
The FAA has, after several years of consideration, the FAA has approved the license to allow launches from a proposed spaceport at Camden, Georgia. I should point out we're not going to see rockets launching anytime soon here because for a number of reasons. The most important is that there is great opposition to this launch pad from the local community. The launch pad is not on the coast. It's about 7 miles inland. It's in an area where there's lots of homes, actually. It's not that isolated. And there's a lot of local people who are afraid of it. And they're actually trying to use environmental reasons to shut it down. The threat to wildlife that they're citing a lot is bogus. We now have more than a half century of evidence at Cape Canaveral that space launches not only don't harm wildlife, their presence helps them because they stop development. And that's probably one of the reasons that there's opposition, because it would probably stop development in that area. There's another reason why launches won't go here. Because of its location near residential communities and the opposition thereof, I actually wonder if rocket companies are going to choose this launch site when it becomes operational. We'll have to wait and see.
Space Perspectives. Once upon a time, it was near you. Where is it now, Bob?
All right, Space Perspectives was never near me, John, but the founder of Space Perspectives, Jane Poynter, she was once the founder of a company, Worldview, that is based still in Tucson. And both of those companies are high-altitude stratospheric balloon companies. Worldview was originally, under her leadership, was going to try to get tourism, build a capsule that would go up on a balloon and bring people to do very high altitude space, near space tourism. She got pushed out, so she forms a new company, Space Perspectives, whose goal is to fly people in a capsule, they call it Neptune 2, on a 6 to 8 hour flight to up to 35 miles altitude near space, but not quite in it, but you're above almost all the atmosphere and you'd see the curve of the Earth. And you'd be in a nice capsule with a wine bar and lots of windows, and you can lie down, you can sit up, you can chat, you can party, and it's very pleasurable and slow. And their prices are much cheaper than all the other suborbital and short suborbital or orbital missions. Well, Space Perspectives has gotten like $38 million of investment capital recently, and they've now announced that they are building a new balloon factory to build balloons in Titusville, Florida, which is one of the nearest towns to the Kennedy Space Center. And so they're moving forward, and they're hoping to get their first operational launches of their Neptune 2 capsule under a balloon in 2024, John.
Virgin Galactic, New York Stock Exchange, a publicly traded company, running into an investor suit. The investor suit comes after disappointment of suborbital launches, delays caused by, I believe, technology, maybe hardware and software. However, I mentioned specially that long ago, Bob's reporting showed that Virgin Galactic was a corner-cutting, over-promising enterprise. This is before it was a publicly offered company. So while it is always disappointing that commercial space runs into the problems of all enterprise, it is not entirely inconsistent with what we've watched over the years, is an effort by Virgin Galactic to put out a face that is not representative of what we're actually seeing. Bob, it's important in your write-up that you mentioned Richard Branson is not named in this lawsuit. However, the leaders of Virgin Galactic are certainly part of that larger enterprise that we've watched over the years. Are you surprised by this lawsuit in any fashion, Bob?
No, not at all. There have been stories in the last 6 months to a year about a variety of legal firms beginning work on filing lawsuits against Virgin Galactic for securities fraud in any number of ways, because the company has not been transparent and it's often not revealed. And since it became a stockholding or publicly traded company, you've got to reveal things as they go, and they have not. And that's been a cause for concern, and it's actually been revealed that a lot of legal firms are getting ready to sue them. This is not going to be the first suit. Yes, Richard Branson is not named in the suit, yet his name is listed in the actual text of the suit numerous times as Defendant Branson. So it does suggest that the lawyers who did this were originally going to name him and for some reason decided not to name him. I think it might be because they didn't want to have to deal with his big financial guns. He's got something like $1.4 billion of cash that he earned by selling Virgin Galactic stock, reducing his share in the company from 51% to 11%, and he shelled it all at the high points after he sold the company heavily or did a flight, and when the stock was high. And now the stock has dropped to just about what it was when it first was issued. And a lot of people are going to lose money because of this.
And Bob, remind me, there were things that happened in those flights that Mr. Branson participated in that we didn't know right away.
Yes, and this is part of the problem. During the flight that Branson was on, there were issues. And they did not reveal those issues for about, 6 weeks later? And in, of course, the immediate moment of the flight, the stock soared, and Branson sold it, made a lot of money.
Right.
And then later on, the problems were revealed. And one of the main problems is that the White Knight II carrier ship that brings the spaceship to Unity up to, you know, several hundred, you know, tens of thousand feet before releasing it, is 13 years old and had to go through a complete, is now undergoing a complete and total refit because it's old and it was not really safe anymore to fly. And that was one of the major things they didn't reveal.
All right, now we go to good news. The Japanese tourists have returned to Earth. They were on the ISS, what part? It was, they were on the Russian part, correct, Bob?
Yes, a Japanese billionaire, Yasuko Miyazawa, and his assistant, Yozo Hirano, bought two tickets on a Russian Soyuz capsule to spend 12 days on ISS, and they basically spent those 12 days on the Russian half. I'm sure they floated into the American half and looked around. They weren't going to be kept out, but they spent most of the time on the Russian half because this was Russia making money on space tourism. Miyazawa, he got his billionaire as a founder of Zozo, an online retail clothing business. And about 3 years ago, in 2018, he signed a deal with SpaceX to be the first commercial passenger on Starship, to take him and a bunch of other artists. He's gonna pay for their flights and fly around the moon. And they're still targeting that flight for 2023. We'll see if that happens. In the meantime, he said, you know, the Russians now are selling tourist flights. Why don't I go and take my my cameraman with me? And that's what they did. And they flew. They were up there for 12 days. They had a good time. They're now back in Russia, and they're in Russian facilities being debriefed and also being helped readapt to the Earth gravity, which is going to be very hard after only 12 days. But they've done it, and they had a good time.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring next. We're going to the surface of the planet Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.